I have to confess that sometimes my mind wanders a little bit when I'm beginning to put together my sermon, and I came across this sermon title because, frankly, that disaster flick from the 1970s, Towering Inferno, came to mind. And then I started having all sorts of fond memories about watching the 4:30 movie on Channel 7 in New York, which is what they used to do with that broadcast time before the evening news and before they started showing news all the time. The 4:30 movie always followed a theme for the week, and there was a QB7 week, there was a Planet of the Apes week, and once the disaster movies had stopped being primetime fare, they started showing things like The Poseidon Adventure and Towering Inferno in that slot. Now, you'd watch those movies and you might have thought about all the characters who were assembled, and you might, if your mind was wandering, have wondered just what did all of these poor schlubs do to deserve being in a building that was going to become an inferno. And we all know that most of them didn't do anything to deserve to be there. And yes, there would be one or two bad characters, and they would usually redeem themselves in some way during the course of the movie. But the films were used to reflect on the world around us. And there was a lot of change going on during the 70s, and we're revisiting some of that now. But I'm not going to be talking about how scripture can be related through Irwin Allen films in the 1970s. But I do want us to think about how Jesus was alive and aware of what was going on in the world around him. Jesus saw things happening. And Jesus met people who would ask, why is this happening? And one of the things people would say, as some do now, is that bad things happen to people because they did something wrong. And Jesus is having no patience with that kind of argument. And he refers to this incident involving some Galileans who were killed by Pilate, and their blood was mingled in with the sacrifices. And there was an assumption that these people had sinned and that somehow God was punishing them. Jesus said no. And then Jesus referred to another disaster that took place in Jerusalem. And this involved a tower by the Pool of Siloam, which was outside the city walls. And that wall had been rebuilt by the exiles, the return from the exiles, a couple of hundred years before. And it collapsed, and some people died. And to say that somehow the people who were caught in that disaster were being punished by God was wrong, according to Jesus. Now, why do we think all this? Why do we project divine action in bad things that happen? Whether they be disasters, whether illness strikes, whether a job is lost. Well, we people are meaning-making creatures. And we like to connect the dots. And sometimes we do a good job at that, and sometimes we do an awful job at that. I'm not going to go off on conspiracy theorists now, but that's what people like to do. There's a smidgen of potential evidence, and it is then connected in all sorts of bizarre ways to what they believe is the truth. That's not how God operates. Now, it is possible for us to say God is all-powerful. But what does that mean? What are our expectations of God? And frankly, there is this desire on our part sometimes to look at God as being some kind of divine ATM. That you can go up to it, press some buttons, and money comes out. And with God, we go up to God in church, we say some prayers, and things magically happen. That's not the way God functions. And Jesus referred to this event that took place in Jerusalem so people would understand it. And we can look at the of hordes of Russians to kill them. God did not have some grudge against the children who were in the maternity ward in Mariupol that was destroyed last week. Bad things happen in our world. Now, that doesn't mean we just throw up our hands and say that we have no agency or no power and that God is not present, but God is not operating the way we might want or prefer. God has given us free will, and you and I get to make choices about things every single day. And one of the lessons that Jesus is sharing with us is one that our mothers shared with us when we were all little, which is, don't do stupid things. They are going to come back to hurt you. And if you think about this tower, we don't know what kind of design plans they had, whether they were paying attention to the terrain, whether it would support a structure. But if you build something in a location that cannot support it, it's going to fall down. And when people get hurt, yes, we should feel bad for them, and yes, we should want to help them. But we shouldn't be looking for God's hand in that event. So during Lent, we are supposed to repent, and one of the things we should repent of is our desire to make assumptions and to place the blame on God. And frankly, we will look at other people and we will say, oh, you're a sinner. And we never say that I'm a sinner. It's always, you're a sinner and God is going to punish you. Now, we've been walking around with this false belief for most of Christianity and frankly predated Christianity. But it got hardwired into our faith by Augustine of Hippo. And you remember him. He was the author of City of God. And he's one of the great thinkers in the Christian tradition. And he spent about 10 years as a Manichaean before he came to Christianity. And when he was a Manichaean, he learned about the structure of the universe that was believed to exist, involving battle between good and evil. And while Augustine adopted the Christian faith and believed in Jesus, he still saw things as a Manichaean. And we are dealing with that to this day. So this is going to be one of those instances where I'm going to stand in the pulpit and say about a person who was demonstrably smarter than I am, he was wrong. Augustine was wrong. And I don't think we're heretics if we say things like the doctrine of original sin are not good Christian theology. I'm presuming that everybody here subscribes to the theory of evolution. And if you do, you know that humanity did not begin with two people in a garden at some point in the past, and these people were magically able to speak and to think and to sin, and that God decided that all of their descendants would be punished for their errors. Where would be the room for God's grace? Where would be the opportunity for God to forgive us for our sins? It wouldn't exist. And I don't think that's the universe that God has fashioned for us. God's grace is a huge part of what goes on in our world. And we have all been blessed by God's grace at one point or another. So my hope is that you will not be like the man who wants to cut down the fig tree. The ones who doesn't give up on the opportunity for that tree to bear fruit. And his gardener asks him to wait another year, to show a little more patience. And if you remember how Jesus does things in the Gospels, Jesus is the gardener. Jesus is the one who is watching out for all of us, who he sees as the fig trees. None of us are beyond God's grace and hope. And if we're not bearing figs now, visit one another, and we do it by the way we help the wider community, both here in the Upper Valley and throughout the world. So that's the bottom line for today's scripture lesson, is that God shows an incredible suppleness in the way he deals with us. And God knows that we all have failings and that we'll all mess up. Each one of you, and me too, we're all sinners. We are all sinners. But the amazing thing is that God has forgiven us. And God is with us as we try to stop sinning again. If we decide we want to follow the path of sin, bad things are going to happen. And if not to us in this lifetime, well, after we die, if you believe in the afterworld, I cannot imagine that good things are going to happen there. But at least with your reputation here on earth, the truth will come out. And people will know that you were bad. And if you think about what Vladimir Putin is doing right now, he is writing his biography for history, and it's not going to be good. So my hope is that we will all lead lives following the path of Jesus, that we will respond to our better angels, that we will accept God's grace, and that with that, we will be able to go forward and live full and healthy lives. Would you please join me in this group of prayer? Dear God, we thank you for the illustrations in Scripture and for Jesus' teachings. We thank you also for the ability to see what is going on in our world and to make sense of it and to draw the right lessons when we should. In Jesus' name we pray.